And we're back. Actually, it is about 3 seconds later, but no one will know the difference once I have edited this, except that I just blabbered it out.
It's okay. I had a great break. You know, it's been a wonderful time away.
Wonderful.
How was your week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a drink of water.
I did.
There we go. All right. Well, I'm just going to talk about the news I'm first most excited about is my favorite book, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, has been greenlit.
Yay! That's my favorite book, too. I'm very excited about this.
I'm
a little nervous given the fact that Mr. Adamson, I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but given that Mr. Adamson will not be directing Voyage of the Dawn Treader, I'm a little nervous about how it's going to go, given that we don't know who will be directing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Doobie, why don't you go? Just give us a highlight on what we know of Treader with the release date and all that.
The release date of Dawn Treader?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we don't have a release date on Dawn Treader yet.
Well, not a specific release date, but don't you remember the news said they were planning to release it 1 year after Caspian?
Yeah. Well, what they want to do is they want to be in pre-production on Voyage of the Dawn Treader before Prince Caspian even comes out. So, you know, they can just get going with Voyage of the Dawn Treader straight away. Unfortunately, that means that, you know, they can't have people from Prince Caspian really working on Voyage of the Dawn Treader because they're going to be happening sort of at the same time. I think from what we've heard of things, Andrew Adamson is going to be sort of overseeing somehow Voyage of the Dawn Treader, or he'll still be involved with that to some extent, but he's not going to be directing. But he'll still obviously have some input. So what they want to do is have Prince Caspian out, have Voyage of the Dawn Treader out 1 year later, and then do the same thing, start Silver Chair before the Voyage of the Dawn Treader comes out, and then have that one out as well. So they're thinking ahead, which is good.
Yeah. Although, I think there's some pros and cons to switching directors between films.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, on the pro side, Adamson can dedicate himself to Prince Caspian. He doesn't have to worry quite so much about Voyage. And they won't have to worry about, you know, someone trying to do both jobs at the same time.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you said, Coraline, they're switching directors, but they're going to start working on a film without necessarily having a director. Well, you don't know who they have in mind yet, but they have that goal
in mind. That can also be on the pro side, because Prince Caspian and Voyage of the Dawn Treader have such different storylines. Like, it's a different feel. Caspian is a darker book because of the peril that Prince Caspian and the old Narnians have to go through to get to the end of the book, whereas Voyage of the Dawn Treader is a little, there are bits of darkness in it, but it's, overall it's a much lighter book.
Yeah.
So I think having a different director can be an asset in that sense.
Maybe, yeah. I think it's a little tricky because you are shifting from different directors. And there's also questions of other people, because so many have worked with Adamson before. You have Harry Gregson-Williams. Will he stay on for Voyage of the Dawn Treader? My guess is that he won't.
Do we know that he's coming back for Prince Caspian? Has that been?
Yeah,
oh, yes.
He's on.
Yeah,
okay.
He's confirmed.
I think I missed that. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see. It's my favorite book, and I would not use the term lighter, though, simply because it. I wouldn't say it's. Yeah, it's not. I'm not talking about the light and dark issues. I'm talking about it's because it has, in my opinion, almost more profound themes than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah,
that
I would agree with
that. Go unnoticed by a lot of people. I think that it is. You wouldn't want to choose a term light. It's definitely not dark in the sense of peril that.
No, it's
has.
More like just episodes.
It's very episodic. I mean, I led the reading group for it back in 2004 on the forum, and we were able to split it up into clearly defined sections because it is such an episodic book going from island to island. And
I think the adaptation would be a lot easier for Voyage of the Dawn Treader than it sounds like it's been for Prince Caspian, because Prince Caspian, you've got this really awkward structure with this flashback happening in the middle of the book that doesn't really get you anywhere. By the end of the flashback, you're where you were when you started, you know, reading almost. And so they're having to turn Prince Caspian into this linear plot, and they're not really going to have to do that with Voyage of the Dawn Treader. It's going to be a much easier adaptation in that sense.
I'm going to point out right now, concerning Ben Barnes, I was a little nervous about his age. I'm not at all concerned about his age concerning Voyage.
No,
I think he's really about just about the right age.
Absolutely.
In fact, I think that Samuel West, who played Caspian in the original series,
he was too young.
He was probably my favorite actor. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I thought he was too young in Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not sure how old he was at that stage. I'll have to look that up. But
yeah,
he looked.
Yeah, I think he was in his early 20s.
Early 20s, yeah.
Well, I thought he was really just great. And I think this guy, Ben Barnes, would probably do a pretty good job too. Yeah, and my favorite part of that book is very odd. I think one of my favorite parts of the book is the part where they come into Gumpus's room.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That
Very
is probably
funny.
One of my, because, and I'll tell you why, because we get to see, with the High Kings and Queens of Narnia, with pretty much all of them, we get to see them as kings, for instance, like Edmund, you know, we see him in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as a kind of a young prince, and then Prince Caspian as a king, but he's never really doing his kingly duties, except in The Horse and His Boy, we get a glimpse of that, but in Prince Caspian isn't even king yet, in Voyage of the Dawn Treader, he's on a voyage, and he's kind of the captain of a ship. And in Silverchair, we don't really see him that much, but we do get that one glimpse of him being a king, administering justice, making laws, in that one short bit in Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And that's why that scene is one of my favorites, because you get a glimpse of him as this very good, wise king.
Yeah, you get a glimpse of his leadership style and how appropriate it is in that situation.
And that's why I think Ben Barnes is older. So the age is right for Voyage of the Dawn Treader, because he does all these, you know, very kingly things, and I don't think the people in the story would take him seriously if he was portrayed as much younger.
Yeah, and that's why I think Ben Barnes' age will come into being an asset much more than, say, Prince Caspian.
Yeah, and obviously they were thinking about that, because they were wanting to cast someone late teens, early 20s, so, yeah.
And it's always been a hard, I can understand why they've had such a difficult time finding an appropriate Caspian, because you have to balance the age of the Pevensies, because they aren't really aging much between the books, whereas Prince Caspian himself has to age quite a bit. And so finding the right balance of people over three movies is very difficult. So I can completely understand why it took so long to get the right Caspian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, I'm just kind of curious how much Pippa Hall worked with, if she was working with Ben Barnes in this. I don't think so. She told me she usually doesn't work with people who are over 18.
Well, I don't remember who else is doing casting, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Well, what do we know of locations now? We talked a little bit of locations in the last episode, but we do have a tentative location, I think, for The Voyage of the Dawn Treader
that
we've been talking about.
Well, last year, back in May, I think, Coracle and I went to the C.S. Lewis conference in Sydney, and they mentioned there that Malta was one of the locations being thought about for Prince Caspian, and obviously that didn't go through, but... now they're thinking about Malta for Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and I think that would just be great, because it's an island nation, and Voyage of the Dawn Treader is all islands, basically. And Malta has a lot of really beautiful ancient scenery.
I did not know that it was being considered for Prince Caspian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a little mention of it at the conference.
I suppose they could have used it for the beginning, when the Pevensies are
on
the
island.
That's now
at Caer Paravel.
Oh, I just realized one other little bit of news we haven't thought about. The concept art.
Oh, yeah.
We just got our first little bit of concept art for the film.
That reminds me. I had gone and closed those windows on my browser.
No, I've got mine open. How good is that?
I don't want to sap energy from my computer, so I'm going to memorize. I'm going to look at my memory. Ah, there it is. I thought it was okay. That's from Mirage's castle, right?
Yeah, but the thing I like about it is it actually looks like a castle. I mean, in Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, you had the witch's house and Caer Paravel, and, you know, in the book they're sort of described like castles, but they didn't really look like castles, if you can understand why. But this is a castly castle, and I like that.
Yeah, I don't... You know, there's a difference between a palace and a castle. I think,
true,
of course, Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, with Cair Paravel, we had to have that kind of...
I think that was described as a castle, but it looked good as a palace, but, you're right.
Yeah, but it had to... If they were going to live in it as their place of comfort, then they had to have certain furnishings and things like that. And oftentimes, I mean, in royalty with in Great Britain, a lot of the castles were not necessarily always where they would live for... Of course, they would move from castle to castle, but the royalty would have kind of a more lavish home.
Yeah.
And then they would have the fortress. And I think that... especially since we will see a little bit of Cair Paravel, and my guess is that we'll see some kind of a fade-in, fade-out of what it looked like in its glory. But I want there to be a contrast between Miraz's castle and
Cair Paravel.
That way we're not confused as to where we are.
Exactly.
Yeah, but also I want it to seem... I think that the one in the concept art looked a little bit... just a little too nice. I would like for Miraz's castle to look more like an imposing structure.
The thing is, Miraz didn't actually build the castle. That was built by one of Caspian's ancestors. So it can't look too grim.
Yeah, his great-great-grandfather.
Presumably, you know, his great-grandfather wasn't looking to, you know, build this sort of evil-looking structure. But I agree that it has to look imposing and strong. And sort of traditional too, because I mean, these Telmarines, they came from, descended from pirates, and that obviously model what they build on, things that they know. So, you know, it's sort of got this Norman almost look to it, the one in the concept art, anyway, all the turrets and things.
I always imagined one kind of like Don Eileen Castle in Scotland. I'm looking at it right now, I've got a picture of it up on my wall.
Yeah.
But that's a very... definitely has kind of a fortress look to it, of the central keep. But I thought it was all right. I liked the color tones they had to it.
Yeah,
very
I like
much
that too.
Kind of a monotone gray look to it.
With a little bit of brown too, just so it's a bit...
Mm-hmm.
I quite liked it.
Well,
it's also,
kind of a setting... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
No, I interrupt you. I insist that you talk.
No. I was going to totally branch off in another direction. You go first.
Okay. No, I was going to rant, too. I just rant through the whole podcast. Actually, everything that everyone hears that seems so well thought out is just me edited in later. You're not actually hearing this right now. This is all pre-recorded.
Exactly.
Oh, good.
Well, let's see. Is there anything we haven't covered?
Well, there's the teaser poster as well, but, you know, that's just filling the script.
Yeah, the teaser poster is mostly some shots of New Zealand with is that Peter's sword?
Well, I don't know. It might be Caspian's, but it probably is Peter's. It looked a little bit different to me.
Yeah, I think the blade looks a little more broad than the one I remember on Peter's sword.
The handle was a bit different. But yeah, it might be Caspian's sword. You never know. But,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's... you know what I think it will... One thing I hope they do... that they may not, but... When I saw the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe poster, the fact that Aslan's face is the most prominent face in the whole picture, I loved that, and I hope that they do that for every single film, so that it has a continuous look.
Because Aslan is the only character that's in every.
That's right.
Book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've got
maybe even with
six,
a little bit of poster profile on his face, but yeah.
Well, the Ultimate Narnia fans are in. And we have two Narnia Webbers that I know of, Nina Ruth and Glumpuddle. Fantastic!
Ow.
Sorry. No.
I said ow, not no.
Oh.
I happen to like Glumpuddle quite a bit, and so I'm very pleased that he's one of the six finalists. I don't know any of the other finalists, so I can't... I'm sure they're very good Narnia fans that wouldn't have made it this far if they weren't. So I think it's a great day for the entire franchise having this many dedicated fans out there.
I don't know.
Trying to remain unbiased.
Here's a question. This might be a debate for the forums, but can you be an ultimate Narnia fan and not be on NarniaWeb, or at least NarniaFans.com?
I don't
think... And have internet access and things like that, okay?
I think it's entirely possible to be a huge Narnia fan just without belonging to the forums. I think it's just bonus if you are on the staff of
But can you be the ultimate Narnia fan? That is the question.
If we're talking about involvement on a website as an ultimate Narnia fan, so we'd have to have a duel between Spectre and Tyrion. And sorry,
I'd like to see how that plays out,
Tyrion.
I have fencing. I do fencing. I could get them a couple blades. We could put it on as a video podcast. If we could get them together.
Have it as a live video feed to the site.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
I like it.
That's what we're going to do. Whether they like it or not.
None of this voting malarkey. We're going to have a duel.
Well, yeah, we'll have to have a very exclusive interview with Glumpuddle when he, or Nina Ruth, when either of them, because we will make sure that they have, one of them will.
I like how you say when instead of if.
Yeah, it's not an if.
Could we maybe do that as a special edition podcast?
If I ever get this podcast out.
I do not envy you.
Yeah, well, I do not envy me either. But I love this job, and I am not at all disappointed that if at the rate the films are going, I will be in my early 30s when the last one is done, and I will be done with this job.
Tyrion and I will be in our 40s. We will probably still be running. Tyrion and Fantasia Kitty and I will probably be in our 40s. We will probably still be running the site.
You know there's going to be some huge piece of news coming out tomorrow just after we've done the podcast.
I know.
Of course,
I know,
we will probably hear about Mira's.
Happens.
Yeah, although, you know, I'll just edit my responses to yours so it sounds like you're answering different questions. Because, you know, with the last podcast, Skillet Dude and I were talking about the actor that was officially chosen who ended up not really being officially chosen.
Oh, wow.
Because it was recorded in early January. And so I changed my questions so that he was no longer had the same response.
Ooh. Very good.
Yeah.
Now I know you're going to turn my words against me.
Yeah, I'm going to change your political persuasion and everything. No. Girls, it has been so much fun. Doobie and Coraline, thank you so much.
Thanks, really.
Thanks for having us.
This has been a blast.
I hope we get to do this again. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. We'll try to have you back.
Cool.
And thank you, and... Doobie, good. Is it still morning, or is it just
lunchtime? It's just past lunchtime.
Okay. Well, good afternoon to you. And
thank you.
Coraline, good evening to
good
you.
Good evening.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What?
It's a forum thing.
Uh-huh. Talk to you later.
All right,
bye.
See ya.
If you would like to email Coraline or Doobie with your thoughts, then you can email them at doobie@narniaweb.com, coraline@narniaweb.com, or if you'd like to email me about my thoughts or even about the podcast in general, please email rillian@narniaweb.com. And again, just a reminder, we do encourage you to go to narnia.com and vote for your favorite contestant. You are allowed one vote per day. And as always, if you have any questions about Narnia or the books or anything that Lewis talked about in Narnia, please go ahead and email us. Or if it's a question about the film, go ahead. We've gotten a few emails thus far, and we'd love to have more. And so in conclusion, it's very sobering for me. I realize we've been around for a year now, and I look forward to many more to come. I look forward to the changes that will come, both good and bad. And I look forward to the films that will be released. And I am Rillian, your host, and I would like to leave you all with the reminder that this is all only the beginning of the adventure.